Accession number 28896, reel number 1.
Mr. Blewitt, reel 1. When were you born, Mr. Blewitt?
1920, October the 12th, 1920.
And the place that you were born in?
Well, it was in Darlington. As far as I know, it was Dickinson Street where he was born.
How many was in the family?
Five. There was me and my brother. I was the eldest. There's Kathleen, second. Arthur, my brother. Winnie. And then Doreen, the youngest.
What did your father do for a living?
He was a crane driver. Worked at Summerson's over at Albert Hill.
You were telling me that he'd served in the First World War?
Yes, he was in the 5th Durham Light Infantry. He got wounded 4 or 5 times. He had those 2 fingers shot off, a bullet gone in there, and his arm was permanently stiff. And he had no trade. And all he could get was a crane driver's job.
Did he talk about his memories of the war?
He did, but I'm afraid I wasn't greatly impressed at the time. It wasn't until later on I realised what he'd gone through. When we were growing up, I was the eldest, and he used to have to go to the war hospital at Dunstan, Newcastle, to get his arm sorted out now and again. And when he come back, used to stay 2 or 3 days. When he come back, I remember I used to have the job rolling his bandages up, you know, to... Then he used to start reminiscing a bit about the war, when he was taken prisoner. Like I say, I didn't take a lot of notice then. It wasn't until later on that I appreciated just what he'd gone through.
What, did your mother work at all?
She worked in... during the First War, she worked in munitions in North Road shops.
No, when the children came along, she didn't work.
No, she wasn't working then.
The area that you lived in, what kind of an area was it?
Well, like I say, we lived in the first house I remember. Lived in Dickinson Street, in Eastbourne, and then when they managed to get enough money together to put a deposit on a house in Winston Street, which was centre in the town. When I started going to school at St. Augustine's in 1927, and we lived there, that was most of our life at all, until such times as we all went to school round up. It's very central. The girls went to Larchfield School, I went to St. Augustine's and then to Beechwood until...
Was it a working class area?
Oh, yes. It was in Winston Street. It was just houses on one side. The other side was Bongert Church, and they had a memorial hall and the church and 2 houses on that side, and that was the street. Bottom of the street was the arcade picture house, which we're never away from on a weekend, you know. Got your pocket money, tuppence, and down there for the weekend. But it was very central for everything.
Was it a hard life? Or what was the income in the family?
It was only, like I say, a crane driver, and being disabled, he had a pension of about £1.25, and I think in them days he used to get about £2, maybe £2.10, old money. So we weren't exactly living in the lap of luxury. I remember when the 30s was on, when in the 30s, I don't remember exactly them coming down from Jarrow, but I must. I seem to have it in my mind that we all went down to watch them, and they all went. That's right, they did. They went into the drill hall in Larchfield Street, staying there overnight. And I remember it was a bit hard then, and my mother used to send me down on a Saturday morning, being the eldest, down to the butcher's shop in Bongate, Zizzler's, with a big bowl to get free soup. And then on a... That was one job I had. And then she used to give me twopence to go round to the Savoy Bakery for 2 pennyworth of stale cakes. It went under the name stale cakes, but really it was like a charity thing. They give you bread, cakes and cakes, plus the fact that my father knew the foreman baker, so it was a good thing then. When I used to go around there, he used to have a big bag of stuffed cakes and whatnot. You know.
The house that you lived in, can you describe?
Yes, it was. I used to always think it was a three-bedroom house, terrace house. There was no bathroom, toilet in the backyard.
And that would be an earth toilet, was it? Was it flush? Or
it was a flush, but I seem to remember them like an earth toilet at one time, because they used to come round on round the back street empty, and I didn't take a lot of notice of that at the time.
So the rest of the house, you were saying?
There was a sitting room, which we were very rarely allowed to go into, except for special occasions. There was a kitchen, a little, it wasn't a, I'm saying a kitchen, it was, the kitchen itself was about 4 or 5 foot, no hot water, gas oven. They used to have an oven where my mother used to bake, a coal fire they used to bake. I know in the winter she used to have put a steel plate in, and then when it's time to go to bed, you take it out and wrap a blanket or something around it and then put it in the beds to warm up. There was two large bedrooms, mother and father in one, and me two sisters at the time, who was three sisters later on when Doreen was born, in another room, and me and my brother were in this like little box room, which I thought was a bedroom, but in actual fact, there was only room for about a 3-quarter bed in it. And that was brought home to me later on after the war, when the chap come from the council to measure up. And he said, well, you're down as a 3-bedroomed house. He said, this isn't a room bedroom. So we more or less got a house straight away. This was after I was married.
So quite crowded?
Oh, very crowded. Very
and it was quite common in working-class homes in those days to have that sitting room, which was the special room.
That's right. Well, even to the effect that, like you say, it was a special room. But there must have been a bit tight on money, because they used to let it out as for a family. There was I always remember the first one was a man, his wife, and one girl, little girl, and they lived in that room. When I say lived, they had a bed in there. I don't know how the hell they managed, really. And they used a toilet in the backyard. That's it. It was very crowded, as far as that was concerned. And then later on, when they got a house and moved, there was a man and his mother, Mrs. Buttery, I remember her name now, funny, you know. Mrs. Buttery and her son Tom, and they were the same, lived in there. And she was really old, and he was being a chap about in his 50s, I would think, so I don't know how the other went on with as far as sleeping accommodation was concerned.
And the food that you get, was it adequate? Were you well fed?
Well, my mother was a good cook. but it used to be on a basis. You knew what you were getting every week. Sunday dinner was always quite good. Meat or whatever, rabbit pie was a favourite. Monday was the leftovers of the Sunday meat. Tuesdays, I think she used to be doing puddings and whatnot, you know, Spotted Dick puddings and jam roly-poly and things like that. Wednesday was wash day. She was washing in the yard in a post tub, which you, if she caught you at it, if you didn't get out the road quick enough, you had to take a turn at passing the washing. Thursday was a bit scrappy. Friday was always fish and chips. We were a Catholic family, although we lapsed after the war, more or less. My father wasn't, but he always was part and parcel of the agreement, I think, with the Catholic Church, that they had to bring the kids up as Catholics. And like I say, Friday was always fish and chip day. Then Saturday back to maybe the bitter luck, maybe got rabbit pie again, you know.
Did you have an allotment garden?
No, he was never a gardener. I had one of his brothers. He had an allotment. Well, it wasn't an allotment as such, because he wasn't a gardener either, but down near the Skern, there used to be bits of allotments. And he had like a scrapyard, actually. In fact, I think he was maybe one of the first in Darlington to have a car. Not car, have a car, but he had the scrap cars. And I remember going down with my father now and again on a Saturday just to see him. He used to have a few hens. Used to get sometimes a few eggs off him. And I remember people coming in and asking him, he wasn't a businessman. He'd say, "Oh, go around and have a look and see if there's anything there, pick it up, you know." But as soon as he got enough to get to the pub, I think he used to say, "No, that was it, shop shut," you know. Stupid man he was.
How did you get on for clothing? How was that organised?
Well, it was, in the winter, it was boots, you know, the usual thing. A jersey, a coat. I don't remember much about what the girls wore. They were always tidy, but my brother, he was younger than me, and he used to get what I hand me down. I remember when I was getting older, I think it was about 16, and we used to get, in them days, it was always a provident check, I think they called it. And there was the shop in Kendrew Street, where we used to go down. My mother used to take us down and whatnot. And I always remember when I went down and I wanted I was due for a suit. And an overcoat, she said, "You can have a suit or an overcoat, but you're not getting them both, you can't have them." So I opted for the overcoat, and I hardly had it off my back, you know, hiding my suit. But, yeah, that was about it. A provi check. She never had the money to go in and into a shop and.
It was repayment every week.
That's right. About a shilling or two shillings. Just like how you purchase things. Yeah. They were still in operation years after when I got married. I remember there used to be a chap used to come down the street on a bike, and he used to have. You know, clientele all the way down. You see, every other house he went into, they were all on checks. And that was 1948.
So, as a child, did the church play a major part in your life? You were Catholics, as you said.
Well, we used to, it was a thing, we had to be there. Friday night was, I don't know why Friday night, Friday night was confession night. You had to go to church for the confession, or so that you had to have communion on the Sunday. And it was a thing at school, like, you know, you hands up all those who've been to church, and if you hadn't gone to church, like, you had excuse, or I wasn't feeling too good, or something like that. Like, well, you used to have a black mark against your name, like, but it was all right. And apart from the fact that it wasn't rammed down our throats, you know, I used to always be keen to go to school. I liked football, and when I was about 8, I got on the football team for St. Augustine's, and my father somehow, I don't know how we managed to get the money, but he got me a pair of football boots, and the sister, there was a couple of sisters of Mercy, I think they called them. And when the football team was sorted out, as far as shorts was concerned, I didn't have any shorts, so the sisters used to make them out of this calico stuff, like, well, the only thing, they used to make them as, like, bloomers for girls, so they were tight round your leg, you know, and they used to feel, I never thought of it at the time. I was dead proud to have these things in the boots. I thought I was the boy. And then it wasn't until we went down to the senior school, and after we'd been down there about, well, first few months, I got on the intermediate school, which was a team which was under 12 and a half, and then from there on to the seniors. It wasn't until the first game I went out to, and a lot of the lads were saying, look at him with it. So, as soon as I got back, like, the scissors.
Did the priest visit the house on a regular basis?
Oh, yes, they were round at least once a week.
Yeah, big influence, obviously.
Oh, yes, they come round. It was always fair to my father, like, how are you, Mr. Blewett? He used to always make an effort to keep out the road, like, when that was on, being a non-Catholic. But my mother used to make sure we went every Sunday morning to church. There was no excuse, like, there.
Did you join any church activities?
I played for the church team of football. And I was in the choir. I got on the... that was another funny thing happened. I was down with my grandma. When we first started off, even before we moved into Winston Street, and I used to stay with my grandma all the week to go to school. It was Andy from Thornton Street. And there was a chap down there once, one of my uncle's friends, who was a bit of a singer, thought he was another Caruso-like, and used to have a bit of sing-song. There was no piano, but just a sing-song on a Sunday night. And I used to join in, and he was in the choir, and he told the choir master, who was another priest, and he collared me one day coming out of church, and he said, "Want you in for choir practice?" You know, what have I done? Like, why me? Anyway, I was in the choir for a bit, and then it was all right, but it wasn't the be-all and end-all of anything, like, you know. I got a surprise when one Christmas, as a treat, they took us up to one of the hotels in Dalton up near the station. I think it was the North Eastern Hotel. Went up there as a bit of a do-on for just a meal. And I thought, oh, this is all right. And then I was quite surprised. There was a few priests there, and they were having a pint of beer, you know. And I was amazed. I thought, I can't imagine a priest having a beer. But apparently it was the done thing. But that was about it, like, you know.
Who was the disciplinarian in the family?
In the family? Mm. Oh, my father, no doubt about that. No. My mother got away with murder with my mother, but my father didn't. And he used to shout most of the lot. He never, if he was shouted, that was really enough. Like, he knew you'd stepped over the mark. But I always remember once we'd been out, me and one or two of my lads, mates, taking apples up on the west end. I'll have a look over the wall and apples, get over a few, put them down your jersey and away. But this chap, we'd never noticed him until he shouted, and I look, oh, get down, come back. Unfortunately, he was somebody that used to take up our street for a shortcut to get up to the West End. And next thing I knew, there was a knock at the door. I was in, and one of the girls went and she said, there's a policeman there, and a man and a policeman. And of course, everybody looked at me. I was the eldest, so I was obviously the one. And so my mother went, and then she shouted at me down the door. That's him. That's he's one of them. What have you done? I didn't deny it. I said, oh, we're just getting apples that fell to the ground, you know, windfalls. There was none of them. I always clear them up, you know, this job. So anyway, that policeman, he said, I'll sort it out. And he went. He just said, don't be so stupid, you know. Don't be getting over anybody's walls and all the rest of it. Like, so it just pattered out. Like, as soon as I got back in, my father got two round the head from my father. That was the punishment, like, you got now.
Because even stealing small items, like apples, was a bit of a crime, wasn't it, in those days?
Sorry?
Stealing apples, if children...
Oh, yeah.
Small thing.
Just a little thing. That was as ever I got. I never... there was a lad in the school. Two lads, actually. And they were noted. The police used to be down... You see where we were, like, you'd look out onto the corridor. This was at Beechwood. You see a policeman coming along. And you'd say, what they call him, Neary. Neary's been at it again. He was, I forget what the other one lad was called. But anyway, sure enough, the headmaster used to come out. He was in our class, you see. Neary, out, take him at the back. Then you'd see him walk away with the policeman. He used to break into... places like Woolworths, over the rooftops and whatnot, and get in. And all he used to take, I'm saying all, we know it was wrong, but all he used to take was sweets. Nothing, no clothes or nothing like that, sweets. He'd come in the next day to school with his jersey. That was the idea. He used to all wear, and everybody wore a jersey with a belt round. And sweets and everything. And of course, he was everybody's mate, you know. And his sweets, gives additional sweets out there. But he was the villain of the school, I would think. And that was his main target, was sweets.
What? How did you get on with your neighbours in those days?
Well, it was, like I say, in our street, there was only houses on one side. 22. There'd only be about 12 houses, and the top of the street was a little grocery, well, general shop. Used to sell anything. There was no big stores like these Morrison's and whatnot now, just little general shops, and used to get stuff up there. Mrs. Bailey, I always remember they called her Bailey. There was a one next, really next door to us, number 20. We lived at 1820. He was a painter and decorator. The next one to him, rather a biggish house in the street, plus the next one to him was a blacksmith's shop. And I used to go down there Saturday mornings. Or I used to love the smell of the, when they used to get shoed and whatnot, like, and I used to ask if I could have a go on them. It was all right with the old man there. He didn't like any kids in the place. Very, I would think he very properly didn't want anybody about in case there's any accidents. But his son was all right, you know. He'd let you in. If his father wasn't there, his son used to let you in. Let you get all shown, you know.
Was it an open door situation with neighbours? You didn't lock up
them? You know, I can't ever remember our front door being locked. Even on a night. It may have been, because it wasn't my job. But I always remember, just like open house, they maybe one of the neighbours would come, they'd give you a knock on the door, "Hey there, Kate." And in they come. And I always remember because being open, because my brother, or her brother, I should say, he had a gold signet ring, and it was always going to be mine. When I was 21, it was always going to be mine. And she'd leave her rings on the mantelpiece, just there on the top. And it wasn't until, I would think, maybe the war just started, and somebody come in and took about three or four rings off. And after that, the door was always shut, like locked and bolted.
And the neighbours, you got on well with neighbours?
Oh, yes.
Neighbourly squabbles?
Yes, always well. There was no argument. I never ever heard any arguments at all in the street. There was, on the opposite, the next door to us, was my first girlfriend. And then the next to her was this part-time teacher, Mrs. York. She was very good. She used to teach piano as well. And her husband, he had a good job. They had no family. And I always remember at New Year, that was my job, not on a night at midnight, but the next morning, to knock on the door to let the New Year in. And she taught me this little poem. I always had to recite this when I went in, like, with a bit of coal. I wish you health, I wish you wealth, and happiness in store. I wish you heaven when you die. I cannot wish you more. And I had that to say.